Hi there, I'm Dr. John White, WebMD's Chief Medical Officer and host of the Spotlight On series from our Health Discovered podcast. In this special episode brought to you by UCB, you'll hear why the color of your skin might impact how you're diagnosed and treated for psoriasis.
That letter wasn't about killing myself, but more so like a spiritual death, like killing the different parts of me that would not allow myself to truly live an authentic life because of psoriasis. And so it was so many people touched by the blog that they had sent it to the National Psoriasis Foundation. So a couple of the employees there at the time had messaged me and they were like, oh my gosh, we love your letter. We want you to come to a volunteer conference. And so that very next year, I was at my first National Psoriasis Foundation conference.
Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Chris Hughes with the Christian Perspective Podcast with Chris Hughes, where we encourage our listeners to engage the culture with Jesus Christ. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. So enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The following program contains sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
Previously on Lantern Rescue.
I remember a woman who came in to our facility repeatedly, and she was definitely a victim of trafficking. She would come in beaten up. Every time she came in, she had a new sexually transmitted infection. I remember one time she came in with her trafficker. And so I said something to my boss at the time, and I said, my gosh, I mean, he's here. Don't we need to call the police or something? I mean, we cannot send her back out to him.
Right.
And my boss said, oh, you know what? She's a big girl. If she wanted to leave, she would.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Wow, we got another special show for you today. It was kind of live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, so we get a chance to meet some of the outstanding partners that. You know, it's just unbelievable to me, Mark, how God creates these contacts for you guys.
Right.
And so we got a real opportunity today in one of those contacts. And so I'll let you, Mark, introduce him.
Yeah, this is way beyond a contact. Matt Murphy here is the founder of Operation Light Shine and really a coalition that he's put together that we're honored to even be part of in partnership with him and some other incredible people in the human trafficking fight. And particularly, he's the founder also of the Intercept Task Force. You know, he's a former Green Beret and a lot of other accolades after that that he never wants to talk about himself. He's a really humble dude, but at the highest level of operation, this guy's done incredible things for our government and for the principles of American freedom. And he is now turned his heart and passion to fight human trafficking, and he is assembling this coalition and this effort in a way that I'm telling you, Robbie, it's never been done before. It's absolutely incredible. And we probably need to do 10 shows with Matt. I'm just going to say we probably need to do a bunch. But today's show, you know, is he has a personal testimony about why and why he's here. So I'm going to turn it to you guys, Robbie. I know it all. You know, I've
right.
heard it, but
sure.
I want you guys to interact.
So before we go there, I got to tell the listeners, man, when he puts on the headphones for the interview, that he says, this reminds me of being at the gun range. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's not the thing at Christian Talk anybody else has ever said in the history of Christian Talk Radio.
So pretty cool.
Good icebreaker.
But actually, Matt, I understand that, you know, it's been a tough way to get into this, but, you know, it really is your own story's involved, right?
Definitely. My sister was, for lack of a better word, kidnapped, just disappeared on November 5th, 2019 by a guy who had roughed her up and done some bad things to her before. He had an alibi and the investigation just hit a dead end in a few days, and then Christmas Eve 2019, her body was found in a river in Mississippi. So that's where this journey started.
And you were overseas at the time, from what I understand, when she was originally abducted?
I was overseas working in Germany. I was a Special Forces liaison officer for the Polish command, which was practicing the rehearsal for literally what's happening right now, you know, in Ukraine with Russia attacking. So I was over there, and then my sister ended up missing. At first, we weren't too alarmed. She'd been living a pretty bad life. She had got bad on drugs, heroin, fentanyl. You know, she's making a lot of mistakes in life. I didn't know how bad it was, because my parents hid a lot of that stuff from me. But, you know, then after a few days, then you start to wonder and question. And then you go a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks without hearing from her and nothing. And then you're like, okay, you know, this isn't right.
Yeah. And so as you started in on that investigation, apparently God laid out a plan like that you could see where there were a lot of pieces to the puzzle.
Definitely. One of the most frustrating things, I think, is when you're in the family in a situation where someone is missing, because it seems like no one's ever doing enough. You know, and you feel like that they just don't care, or, you know, they're not investigating hard enough, or they miss something, or they missed a clue. You know, it's an emotional roller coaster to be a part of for the family, especially when it's somebody that you love, you know, that's sure. In that situation. But it turns out when we got to the point a year later, look back, the only thing that was in her folder for the Memphis Police Department was a missing persons flyer. Mm-hmm. They didn't even investigate it.
Oh, man, brother.
And the reason why was because she was taken in the county, but reported in the city, and then her body was found in Mississippi. So you have multiple different jurisdictions, police departments, and sheriff agencies involved. They didn't communicate. They didn't, you know, share information. And because of that, you know, evidence gets lost. Things kind of disappear. And that was a big driving force for why I'm here and what we're doing with Operation Lightshine Intercept.
Right. So, from what I understand, Intercept came first?
No. So I decided to start Operation Lightshine. To be 100% honest with you, that was a dark time in my life. You know, I had turned away from God for a while. You know, and a lot of the things that I had to do in my career were pretty evil. When you think about how you operate in the world with, you know, especially in the intelligence world, especially in special operations, you get sent places to do things, you know, that are not always, in my opinion, morally just. And a lot of the things that you have to become are not righteous, you know, and it starts to weigh on your heart. It starts to affect the way that you view the world and the way that you interact with the world. So, you know, I got pretty dark. I was pretty lost. So when my sister, when she went missing, Special Forces pulled me back to the States. They made me an instructor. And I was, you know, for lack of a better word, I just didn't have a purpose in life anymore. You know, I'm just doing a dead end job teaching something I didn't really care about. You know, lost everything with, you know, my buddies and teams and the mission. And then COVID hit shortly after that. Just drinking every day, depressed. For the first time in 16 years, I'm processing wars, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, loss, death, destruction, the things that I had done, the things I had seen. It hit me hard. And then on top of that, my sister and everything that my family was still going through. It was rough, man. It was really rough. So I was playing this video game called Call of Duty all during the COVID lockdowns. And it's this shooter game, you know. It was the only thing I had to do. There was really nothing else to do. And I just drank all day long. I was just depressed. Some days I wanted to go find the guys that, you know, hurt my sister. You know, some days I felt helpless. I mean, here I am, a Green Beret, you know, they've done all this stuff, and I can't even save my own sister. You know, it's tough. So I'm playing Call of Duty, and there's this thing Call of Duty where if you kill enough people on the game, in the video game, it's like a war game, your gun turns gold. So that was my only goal in life. That was the only thing I had to do. Couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything, depressed, drinking, playing Call of Duty. So I finally get the gold gun. And the day I get the gold gun was the day that my life changed. Because it went from the highest to the high, like, oh, you know, my Corona COVID lockdown achievement, depressed, drunk on the couch. And then it was the lowest of the lows, because I just realized the only thing I had in life was trying to get this, you know, gun that's not even real. If the, you know, video game turns off, it's gone.
It's not real.
That was a wake up call. So, you know, after a lot of thought, some dark places and months of just being depressed and lost, I just kind of just looked at myself like, what are you doing? And what are you doing? So I just started Googling human trafficking because a lot of the rumors around my sister's death involved human trafficking. You know, we still don't know the extent. We know she was trafficked before she died to help pay for drugs and, you know, support her habit, but we still don't know the circumstances of her death really. And, you know, but with that, so I'm Googling human trafficking and I'm learning about all these organizations that do stuff. Like you have Operation Underground Railroad and some other entities that you know, combat human trafficking around the world. I hadn't even heard of Lantern yet. And those stories that compelled me, motivated me. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start a charity. You know, like, so I Googled how to start a charity, and then I bought a book, How to Start a Charity, off Amazon. And that was a pretty crazy experience. I had no idea what I was doing. I still don't. I make every day up as I go.
Oh, don't we all, brother?
Yeah, right. Yes. And so I started looking into, okay, how can I make a difference, right? Because you can't just start a charity. You have to actually make a difference. So, you know, you have guys that kind of do like vigilante type stuff, you know, like they're like Batman. They go into other countries and rescue people. You have other charities that take care of victims. You have, you know, all kinds of different entities in this space. But what I realized really quick is I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I knew I had a certain set of skills and talent and ability and connections and a network, but I know I didn't know what I didn't know. So I went and I just started beating down doors in law enforcement. Yeah, so like I got to find somebody who can guide me, because you know I didn't want to make a difference overseas at first. I wanted to make a difference right here in my own backyard, where my sister was taken, solve right. The problems that made her investigation turn into, you know, her body in a river 2 months later, and the police not working together. So I was like, I'm gonna try to do something different. So I beat on doors all over town, and just grace of God, this is God's hands. This is how I found religion again. This process, this is what brought me back to God. This is what brought God back into my life. And every day is just as much as what we're doing is helping other people. It's helping me. That's the beautiful part about this. So I'm being on cops' doors, trying to talk to everybody. I finally get to a buddy who's a country singer. Well, he's the nighttime country singer, but Homeland Security agent during the day. And he tells me about that's his day job, right? But he tells me about this. They have a child exploitation unit there in Homeland Security in Nashville, and they fight the child sexual abuse material, and you know, try to hunt these predators online, and you know, rescue the victims that are at the end of these videos and imagery. So I get to meet with one of the agents, and just by grace of God, one of the best guys in the world at fighting child exploitation, works with Interpol, has created a lot of the systems and things we use to save kids. I mean, he doesn't like to say it when I say that he's the best. I say top five now just to appease him, but he is the best. I finally got the opportunity to meet with him after months of trying. He ended up just being stationed in Nashville, Tennessee. He left the national headquarters, came to Nashville, Tennessee, and that was like a swan song. Last couple of years in Homeland Security, him and his wife are going to retire out into Nashville. So now the best guy in the world's in my backyard. So I met with him. He invited me to a conference room at the Homeland Security office. There's about it's full of agents, a couple FBI people in there. And I go and I sit down. And at this time, you know, I had my vigilante idea still. You know, we're going to go hunt people online, all this kind of stuff. So –
break them at the knees, drag them out in the street.
Exactly. We're gonna do it live, you know. And I went and I pitched every idea I had to fight human trafficking at this table, and he just tells me, "No, that's stupid. Someone already does that. That's a vigilante. That's illegal." You know, and I'm just sitting there, like, "Well, all right, you know, like that didn't work." You know? So I just kind of like the way he tells the story is I leaned back in my chair and just stared at the ceiling. And what I really did is I leaned back in my chair and I prayed for a second, because I was like, I don't know what to do. So I just looked at him and I said, "Hey, you tell me how I can make a difference." And the difference was this concept that we built, the Intercept Task Force. And this has been the most beautiful journey of my life, because what we've created.
I hate to stop you right here.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
That's the perfect place because it's the greatest journey of his life. It's amazing to me, too. Well, I know our listeners are excited to hear the next part, so we got to go to a break. When we come back, more with Matt Murphy, Operation Light Sign. You can hear, man, there's all kinds of rescuing going on before we even get to the rescue.
Amen.
Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially.
The following program contains sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Lantern Rescue, and oh my goodness, what a story of rescue. Just as I hear Matt Murphy's story, that you can kind of see that, you know, God's got to rescue us before we can go rescue anybody, I guess, to some extent. And we can kind of hear that in your story, Matt, but as this gentleman met with you to start this, so what's the next step? What happened then?
Well, so the next step was all a God thing. I still didn't have any clue what I was doing with the charity. You know, I had built organizations and done things overseas, but with the charity and, you know, all the laws and rules and stuff stateside. But every single day, the right person came into my life. You know, the right people from board members, friends, relationships, my network, you know, offering to do a free website, you know, or offering legal help or and advice and counsel. And just it was just magical how quick this happened. So we've got the 501c3 application in. That got approved less than a year ago this month. I don't remember the exact date. My memory's been blown up too many times. But so we got the charity piece done. And then it's time to build the task force, the concept. The concept behind this is that you can basically take a charity and support the police in ways that the government doesn't. You know, with private funding. And what we can do is we can, as a charity, we can go out, we can get a building, you know, in town and house everyone that fights human trafficking and child exploitation from federal, state, and local entities together in this one building. And by doing that, there you accomplish, you pretty much solve every single problem in the investigation process, because now you have federal jurisdiction, state jurisdiction, and then the, you know, the county and the city jurisdiction within a task force, centralized task force. The next thing that you do, and this is one of the most beautiful things, is you bring the top level of federal agents who have all the training, the schools, everything else, and you're integrating them with, you know, guys from counties and cities who probably haven't had access to the type of training, the resources, the funding, and all that kind of stuff the federal guys have. You're bringing everybody up to a higher level, higher playing field, and you're creating an environment where they feel energized about it. Again, I cannot tell you how many men and women from federal, state, and local entities have come up to me crying and hugged me and said, thank you. You know, like, for this. And
well, you know, from my standpoint, Mark, when I hear this, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Because this started with COVID, right? Yeah. When I was listening to his story, he was playing on, you know, because of COVID, right? This is not long ago. But in your introduction, to the point, he's not only happened this quick, but completely effective, because you've been telling me all about it.
Yeah, it's incredible what God has done with Matt. There was not a racetrack that went around. There was just been a home stretch. and he's just like, in 1 year, done what I essentially should take somebody 5 years at least, if it's even possible, you know. And so, yeah, it's definitely a God thing.
And so Lantern got involved, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably a year ago. You know, we chatted and have a mutual buddy and close friend, and
we won't say his name.
We won't say his name, and particularly because this was the first guy in the States that was like effectively doing something, and he was talking about a task force. We have such a similar
model. It's just
model.
The one of the top five. The guy is that guy?
Yeah, him. No, him.
Oh.
With that guy. With
oh.
The, yeah. You know, but his vision, Matt's vision of how it should be a task force and how it, and what he was just describing, you know, mm-hmm. that's the similar model we try to build overseas. And so we're unique in that way.
It's a natural fit.
It is. Yeah. It's a very natural fit. Everything from the name Operation Lightshine and Lantern, you know, yeah. those things are.
Seems to be light involved.
Yeah, in, that's right.
In both of those things. So as you started to see this come together, you're talking about these people coming up and hugging, you know, all this. But obviously you're seeing fruit, like yes. people are getting rescued.
Yeah. So right now, the first task force is established in Nashville, Tennessee. Right now, we have multiple different agencies operating in that task force, digital forensics, you know, going on. We have a federal prosecutor that's moved in. It's a one-stop shop to get to the offenders, rescue the victims, can issue warrants from within the building. And, you know, we're building out how we're going to partner into aftercare for the victims right now as well. We've been very fortunate to create another partnership that's going to be going out soon with the pretty popular Christian football player and one of the worst tight ends to ever play the game. No, I can't wait for him to hear that. You know, the beauty of it is, you know, we have, it has just brought everyone that's in this fight together, that's doing it for the right reasons, that's doing it the right way. This has brought all of us together, because this isn't just me and what I started with Lightshine, what he's done with Lantern or the other partnerships that we're going into. This is God bringing everybody that has a heart to save kids together. And these aren't just people that have good intentions. These are people that are the best in the world at what they do. And the coalition that we're building under the umbrella right now is just some of the most talented, capable people in the world. I sit in a meeting a couple weeks ago, and we get a text from a friend, foundation that we work with, and it's a missing girl flyer. This girl had been missing for 5 days in Dallas. Nobody could find her. We get it. I send it to our team that we're about to fully fund of just the most exceptional people in the world. 22 minutes later, we had a geotagged pin on our location. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
22 minutes later from the time I sent the text.
And she was rescued?
Yes.
Safe?
Safe.
Or at least?
Safe.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And this is not a knock on the police officers that are they do their job the best they can. They work with the resources they got. So many departments and things around this country, they're underfunded, they're underappreciated, they're under-resourced, they're understaffed. You know, they are not only are they trying to fight the criminals, they're trying to fight the system to be able to fight the criminals. The red tape, the politics, the nonsense around this world. The God bless the men and women in this country and law enforcement that are stepping up trying to fight and save our kids. But what we're trying to do is give them everything that they need to be successful. The training, the technology, the resources, the talent.
Yeah, can you even imagine, Mark, this policeman gets this text. This girl is at this location. The elation he had to actually go make that arrest and the information able to do that, then the family that was on the other end of that, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, the capacity of what Matt has put together is – incredible. And they're on a mission. They're duplicating that in multiple places, and it's a game changer.
It really, really is. So I know every listener, because we're a Christian network's got the same thing I've got on my heart, is like, how do you feel like God's come after your heart through the last couple of years from a standpoint of, are you making progress towards?
Yeah. Every day I get better, and it's not an overnight process, you know. You know, there's when you do what I did for so long, and a lot of people have done, and you know, it puts a dark cloud over you. You know, at first, like when I first started, I was praying, but I didn't feel like anybody was listening. You know, I didn't deserve that, and it's just been every day getting a little bit better. Sometimes you take a couple steps back, but then you jump forward, right? So my relationship with God has changed a lot. You know, I don't necessarily go to church. You know, I watch it on TV, and I do my own Bible study. I have the Bible app on my phone, So I just like read that. I get notifications each day, a little Bible study, you know, and I try to spend at least 15 minutes a day just after, you know, the Bible app notification. I have it set up to where it just tells me, hey, it's time. And I just study whatever it gives me and then pray about it, think about it. That's something I built into my life. And I pray now. And I feel like God's listening now.
I'm just going to go on record. I'm sure Mark would agree with me. He listened the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, you can tell the root by the fruit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, clearly, you know, I've done this interview and I'm affected. I mean, I saw the look in your eyes, you know, when you're talking about how God came after you, and I can see that, you know, that it's real, and it's a beautiful thing. And so I know the listeners are with me. And that, but we need to be praying for Matt and for this coalition, you know, for Mark, for Land and Rescue, Operation Light Shine. And then what's the name of the coalition again, Mark?
It's Operation Light Shine. And,
just know. Operation Light Shine.
So Operation Light Shine is the charity. Our product is called Intercept. That's the Intercept Task Force.
Intercept Task Force.
Yeah, so. And that's what we're trying to expand across the country. We've got 22 governors that want to talk right now about bringing Intercept to their states. We're actively in conversation right now down in Florida to expand. Hopefully, be making some pretty quick progress on that. Really, just as fast as the contributions, the donations come in, is as fast as we can move.
And so it's amazing to me, Mark. It is. We talk about connection, but in a way, it's just however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. You know, God's bringing people like the football player you described, and, mm-hmm. and different people through the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Here it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm blessed out of my socks. I get to meet you and see, you know, what God's doing through you. And again, you know, we've all got stuff, and none of us deserve, not any of us deserve what God's done for us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, man. Well, that's one thing I've learned, like, you know, and this is just my interpretation of my study. Like when you look at the New Testament, it's nothing but Jesus going to dinner with sinners. That's it.
That's who he loved.
You know, and you know, I know I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes. I try to do good, try to be just. I try my best to make a difference and change other people's lives. Like I said, it's been changing my life. But, you know, I think that's the biggest thing that kept me away from Christianity for so long is everybody lives like God on the throne and not Jesus as he lived. And it wasn't until I started to be able to, like, make a difference and actually get to see the change in me and the change that has in others, and knowing that I'm not perfect and not holding myself to a standard that's not attainable, and just living my truth and doing what God tells me to do and taking advantage of all the opportunities and people that God's put in front of me. And that's been life-changing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been life-changing.
Wow. Thanks, Mark. That's just unbelievable.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, listeners, for continuing to pray for us and these wonderful organizations, what God's doing out there. Because, you know, anytime I hear this, I can't help but think of that girl that we interviewed, I don't know, and how she was screaming, right? Does anybody care? Does anybody hear this? Right? Just like you were on the couch, you're like, you know, and God clearly does, and he's clearly doing something. And so, man, we need to keep screaming.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the Truth Network.